Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor. You'll hear a little something different in this episode. We have started Floors Yours again, and we've turned it over to some members of the Five Reason Sports Network. So this is the first episode with Timothy Bain, Brian Fonseca, and Sean Rochester. Focuses on the NBA in general, but also a little bit of the Miami Heat. And now, the first episode.
Great. We're off to a fantastic start. Welcome to the new and rebooted Floors Yours. I'm Brian Fonseca. Above me is Timothy Bain, and we also have Sean Rochester. And an angry fan. For the audio listeners, there's a paper bag over Sean Rochester's head that says "Do something, Pat," with a sad face. It's very Detroit Lions-esque. But we are here. We're going to be doing this. Brian was on a month vacation. I was on a week vacation. Not a vacation. My brother was getting married. We are here. Floor's Yours. We're going to do this every week. It's going to be us three. Tony Schwartz is part of the regular crew. He was not here this week, however, missing the first episode, but he will be back next time. We are going to be doing this regularly. This is obviously, as you know, OG Five Reasons People, the Five on the Floor spinoff, Floor's Yours, where you get to be a participant, and we're going to field comments as we go, and we have a couple things to talk about today. Obviously, James Harden was traded, so we're going to talk about the ripple effects around the league, because this will be NBA focused, and we also have some Heat talk that we're actually going to do today, because they suck right now, and Friday is a pretty big game. So if you're listening to this on Friday, they play the Washington Tournament. And the in-season tournament is coming, so welcome to Floor is Yours. I'm Brian Fonseca. That's Timothy Bain, and that's Sean Rochester. This program has multiple sponsors, one of whom is Home Depot. You can find anything you need there, literally anything. We were talking about this. I need a new hammer, so I'm probably going to go to Home Depot and get it. For the holidays, obviously, there are going to be sales of different kinds. Go on the link in the description. That's where you want to go to sort of get your deal. There's going to be varying different prices and discounts that you could find. So make sure you visit that link to do that. Same thing with StubHub, who also sponsors this program. There are a lot of sporting events going on right now because of November, NFL season, NBA season, college basketball, men's and women's is on the way. If you want to get tickets to any sporting event, obviously go to StubHub. Do it with the link in the description. Remember, if you're going to get a deal, you got to go to the description and get what you need. Now, gentlemen, I've done enough talking. Let's start off with the Heat start to the season. Are they 1-3 or 1-4?
1-4.
Okay.
4.
Woo! Listen.
I actually fell asleep last night with them up. And I woke up and saw they lost the game. I was like, wow.
Listen, okay, so the Heat are 1-4. And I'm the perspective person, right? Like, I am somebody who's like, look, it's only 5 games, whatever. This is bad. And they have the Washington Wizards on Friday. And I think if they lose that game, it is panic time. Timmy, what say you?
Yeah, so like I said, it's not only the 6th game of the season against a division rival. It's also the start of the in-season tournament. You have your fancy new jersey, your new court, and the Wizards look bad. Like, I saw a tweet where you knew when the Warriors was good, they're going to win 73 games. But with this Wizards team, you could tell they're going to be bad. Like, you have Poole sending alley-oops to Kuzma down 20 points. This is a new level of unserious. I said all summer, both Poole and Kuzma both got paid and won a ring already. They don't care about nothing. Like, Gutsy Tyus is there trying to run the offense, but he's just saying, please, please, a contender, please get me. This is a team that does not care, meaning the Wizards. So if the Heat, and two things that shocked me completely last night. One, Spo snap. Not, I want to call it a snap, but Spo said, I don't have no injuries. We need to play. And Bam mentioned the trade deadline. It is November 2nd. Like, I've never heard the Heat star mention anything about the deadline at all, but they mentioned five games in. The new captain, Captain Bam, it's clearly some frustration. I must say, it's something has to give. Like Riley said in the summer, maybe it gets to the point where this is just enough, where you the abyss, you know, and it's such a strong word to use. Like, I'm a reader. Abyss, that's a really strong, and it feels like this team is stuck in the mud, like there's a black hole sucking them in. And there's no one perfect trade, I think, available there, but there's some type of new some new energy has to come into this team some way, somehow.
Sean, the trade deadline was discussed after their last loss. What do you make of that? Because that is not a great sign just a few games into the season.
I think there was almost like a shell shock after that game for fans and for players. I'm sure for Spo and the staff. I mean, it was Spo's birthday. I mean, we ruined his birthday. I mean, that's not fair to him. You know, I think Timmy makes a good point. Like, and I said this last night on Five on the Floor, I feel like we're in a ship that has so many holes, and every time Spo plugs one, another one pops open, you know, and he's trying to use the flex seal, and the flex seal isn't working, you know, like it's just more water coming in. Every time you solve something, something else pops up. I just don't know what you point to. Like, in seasons past, there's been like, if we could just shoot the ball from the outside, we could be better. If we could rebound better, we could be better. If we defend at a high level, we'd be better. Right now, we have a terrible offense, terrible defense. We shoot the ball poorly from almost every region of the floor. The only thing we do well is we turn people over and we don't turn the ball over. That's it. And like right now, what do you hang your hat on? Tomorrow, what do you know that when you go into that game, the Heat are going to do? I wouldn't say that I know they're going to take care of the ball or turn people over either, because those are just consistent things that have happened for five games. But like, you don't have that identity right now. And yes, it's only five games. It's 6% of the season. We can calm down. But at the same time, they're giving us no indication, no hope, no nothing to be like, oh, I kind of see that this is starting to trend in the right direction, or this is starting to get fixed. We just lost to a freaking team with like a dude that got called up from the G League that morning and popped five threes on us.
Right. I said, like, Brooks, when did he come to the NBA? I was so shocked looking at the stat line. Like, what in the world?
You didn't think it was Marshawn Brooks?
No, I saw Brooks, and I was confused. I was like, Am Brooks is blocking the Nets?
Like, 65% of the people that looked at the box score thought Aaron Brooks was back in the league, that little guard that played for the Rockets years ago. I think nobody knew who the hell that guy was.
I think he's a coach of the Nets now.
Jesus
Christ. But, like, I mean, yeah, it's bad, and this is an organization that is tough because there's sort of a – there are dual schools of thought here, and with this organization, this is one that generally – and I'm – obviously coming at this from less of a local perspective because I'm in New York and, you know, I don't work in South Florida, right? I just happen to be here for reasons, and we can discuss that another time, maybe five reasons.
I don't know how many reasons.
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up is because nationally, the perception of this organization is that they're smart. They're the best of the best. If not the best, they're up there. They're elite. The way they handle their business, and my biggest sort of criticism with how they handled this offseason was really the aftermath of the Damian Lillard thing, where it didn't seem like there was a plan after that. Like, you would expect a Heat team to always pivot. We talked about this on Playback earlier. We did a little Playback around lunchtime. It was Greg, Ethan, Alex, and myself, and Alf also jumped in a little bit. Not Alf, you know, from Miami Heat Beat, but out from 3 yards per carry. And we talked about basically just why didn't this team pivot, among many other things, when they've had pivots in the past. You know what I mean? Like, Elton Brand later on became Lamar Odom, and they tried to get Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady again, ended up getting Eddie Jones. And they've always just had another move sort of up their sleeve. And this time it was like, wait, so you thought you were getting Dame, you miss out on Dame, and where's the sort of other move? Not that it needed to be Bradley Beal beforehand or Jrue Holiday after the fact, but something like even one of the packages that we've talked about, Monty Morris, Bojan Bogdanovic, Buddy Hield, TJ McConnell, Colin Sexton, Kelly Olynyk. And now the roster just looks incomplete, and the players are kind of playing like, and Greg is saying this, like it feels like they're almost over each other in a way. And I'm not going to characterize it in that way because that's just from outside looking in perspective, but it does look like, you know, groups run their course. And I do wonder, maybe this will look stupid after a 3-game winning streak, but I do wonder if this is a group that one just didn't expect to be playing with each other. And two, they're playing like it because this is kind of like they've already done this number of different times.
And it's also, let's just look at the league. We've never seen a core together this long, win or lose. We've seen championship teams break up after 2 to 3 years. This is year 5. Eventually, and it's worse, they haven't won anything. Yeah, we had a roughness, toughness, like the thing that we're going to see tomorrow on the Heat culture jersey. Like,
two title appearances is a nothing, though. Like, that's winning. Like, a lot of people say,
it's not nothing. I agree. Yeah, but still, yeah. It wears on you, though. Like, okay, you get so close, mm-hmm. and you don't make any changes. And I think... we used to call all these franchises broke boys. Yeah, right. I would love for Buddy Hield to be a Miami player. But I think the nail in the coffin, not really the nail in the coffin, but the straw that broke the fans' back was basically Bradley Beal saying Miami was my number one team. And Pat said Mickey couldn't get it done. Just for the record, I didn't really care about Beal. He hasn't played yet for the season. He's played 176 games total in like 4 years. Like, I'm good on Beal. But the fan perception is like, that would have cost you nothing. It would probably cost you like Duncan and whatever. But just the fact that they rather grind it out. They rather give what Greg would say, wah.
Sean put the, for the audio listeners, Sean put the Do Something Pat paper bag up again. I do think I wouldn't say Pat, but I think the organization does need to come together and do something. Before we wrap this up, and Sean, I'll toss it to you to close out this Heat segment before, you know, maybe we'll get to a couple comments. If you guys, I know you guys have thoughts on this in the comments section, do weigh in on what you think this team should do. Should they just ride it out till we get a bigger sample size, 10, 15 games, 20 games, or should they just act now? Sean, I'm going to toss that question to you as well.
Well, Greg and Ethan have referenced a 20-game mark as something Pat has used in the past, and I think this team, because of that 5-year mark, we know what they are, and there's new pieces, right? There's been pieces that have been shuffled through, but I don't think you need to wait that long. I don't think you need to overreact after 5 games either, but I think that there has to be some wheels turning, some things working in the background. I also think that there are two pieces to this. Spo has to be honest. Him and his staff have to be honest within themselves. If they look in that locker room and they think that there is solutions there, are there things because of injury, because they're trying to figure out lineups, whatever it is, that should be the first move. Can you fix it within? And if the answer is no, or there's not a certainty, that is when I think because they're going to have conversations with the front office, with Pat, with Nick, with Mickey, with all those guys. Then the next step is, what do we need so that those guys can go out and look for what they need? Whether it is, you know, the next whale, the Levines, those types of, you know, big names, or is it the TJ McConnell, Buddy Hield? Is it the Alex Caruso and Pat Williams? Like, I lean more towards the realistic thing that I think is going to happen is more so of like a secondary type move. You know, that Antoine Walker, Jason Williams, Posey, those types of guys, rather than the Shaq trade. And I think quite a few of us have said that since the summer, even though we thought that layup was happening.
For 2 years now, like, I don't think you need a third star. They need better players around the core 2 or 3. If you come in here as a core player, like, you need the drop off. So, if you have our best 3, and like, you need to have a consistent level of players that doesn't matter who plays, the level on both sides. I'm so miserable seeing players who could only shoot the ball or only pass or only defend or only play. But like, I miss having 3 to 4 players who can do everything or some things.
Yeah. This was going to be what I was going to say before we transition out of this. I knew somebody would tee this up because I think we can quickly go around the horn with this.
I'll read it for the audio listeners. Jordan L. says, try some Jovic minutes. Kind of agree. He provides lots of things the team needs. I don't know about that part yet. I'm not saying that he's the fix, but I don't see why not give him minutes. And Sean, I'm not saying Nikola Jovic is the savior, but I do think that, and I'm not because someone else asked, are we questioning Spo? And I would say that I do think there are some things worth trying, especially when you're searching for answers so early in the season that will get magnified if they lose to Washington. But this isn't the Jovic specific question, but are there different things you would do other than perhaps not play Kyle Lowry 30 minutes a game?
I mean, for me, I think tomorrow I'd like to see Haywood Highsmith starting instead of Kevin Love. And I say that even though Kevin Love has played well. It's just I think that the parts fit better. You don't have Haywood, Caleb when he's healthy, and Josh Richardson all coming off the bench playing similar roles. Not in addition to Jamal Cain, too, who can also play a similar role. Jovic, I like. I mean, 2 summers ago, I've said this many times, sitting in Vegas about Alonzo Mourning saying how much they liked that kid, how special he was going to be, all the skills he had. But he said it's going to take time. I will repeat, it's going to take time. It's not fair to that kid to make him be this. How is he going to save this sinking ship right now? And it's not what Brian is saying, but I think there are people that believe that Spo is mismanaging him and he should be out there. Maybe he should, but to put the pressure of him being the one that's going to fix this, it's, I think it's just too much for a kid that's, what, 19 years old? But it's worth a try.
I just want to see him get 2-3 shifts a game. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Just 15 minutes or so, whatever the case may be.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the weight it handled. I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer, means you can use them longer, and also they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well, and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's pivot to James Harden because in terms of other NBA related things, and this is an NBA product after all, James Harden is somebody who
I don't know if Brian is the right person to introduce this trade because Brian Fonseca hates James Harden.
So I'm not personally.
I'm going to take over from the host because Brian is what to say. Like, I'm sorry, Brian, but you hate the man.
Finally, no, but James Harden's great. Okay, great. Well, was
money,
a great
money. Please, I need that. I need that. I need that.
But I would never trade for him in my life. I would trade for him over certain other people in the NBA that we don't need to discuss at this point in time. But James Harden is one of my least favorite players in NBA history. But he got what he wanted, unlike Damian Lillard, and is going to the Los Angeles Clippers, a team that, you know, they're interesting. But more importantly, as it relates to, I guess, people from this chat and people nationally are going to be looking at the Sixers because the Eastern Conference sort of needs that next team behind the Bucks and the Celtics, probably in the reverse order. Maybe the Sixers are that. So James Harden was traded to the Clippers, if you haven't heard, for a fuck ton of forwards and a couple draft picks. Marcus Morris and everybody else, like, you know, it's just a bunch of stuff. And PJ Tucker is also going to the Clippers. So I know this has some ripple effects to Miami, but this isn't a Miami-specific question, even though I know a lot of people watching this will have their interests and probably wanted James Harden, which evidently the Heat weren't going to get him. But James Harden is a Clipper, and I don't think, you know, Timmy knows where I'm going. I'm skeptical. But Timmy, what do you think?
So just to break it down, they're currently up by 14 on the six on the Raptors, and my fantasy team is looking healthy. So a few things, like I'm one of the people who wanted the Heat to draft Maxey over Precious. So I think, as Vince Goodwill said, you know, ownership saw, okay, Maxey just won player of the week. They're up 2-1. Like, we don't need this distraction. So put the keys in Maxey's hands. We know what Embiid is. Kelly Oubre should not have signed for the minimum. Like, that man averaged 20 points in two steals last year. That was a steal for them. And I think Tobias Harris has gotten a lot of flack over the years for getting the contract. And it's not his fault. It's not his fault he got paid $40 million a year. Like, he looked pretty good under the dark. In on Clippers, but basically when Jimmy was there, they made him be a third or fourth option. So just for the week alone, Tobias has looked kind of like the Clippers. Tobias, I like the Melton starting at the two, but overall you trade Harden, who wasn't playing, for four players who could defend and shoot. I really like what KJ Martin can possibly be in that team. The corpse of Batum and Rocco and Marcus Morris. Like, one thing that he had last year with turning them around was the Kevin Love trade, right, with the good vibes. You have Marcus Morris, who's from there. You have Rocco, who's one of the earliest players of the process. You have Batum, who basically kept that Clippers locker room together for the last 3 years. And you have KJ Martin. I do think that this will be a good vibes boost for the Sixers. I think they're gonna be okay. Like, I don't expect the team to, like, finally break the curse in the second round. I think they're gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Like, I would wish the Heat could be okay right now. Like, but no, I think the Sixers are gonna be okay. Fourth, fifth seed, it's gonna be no drama because it's gonna be Embiid, Maxey, and some pretty good tough players. You know, you haven't been able to say for a while about Sixers players. On the flip side, as a basketball fan, I think it's pretty cool. And I like the culture thing. I like the four stars of the Clippers are all from LA. You know, I think that does. This is also the last year they play in Staples. Even though they lost last night for the first time ever under Tyronn Lue, the Clippers still are, to me, the better team in LA. You basically put up a shut up though. You know, we used to call them KFC or whatever, Popeyes, because they're the most wings. But now they really have only 10 playable players, 9 if you really count Bones. You have Russ and Bones, Man and Harden, Kawhi, Tucker, PG, Powell, Zubac, and Plumlee. They are one injury away from being with the Heat for the last 2 years. So I like that they're chosen the path. They're gonna spend a bunch of money next summer to max all those guys out and go to Inglewood next year. But I think it gives both teams clarity. Like, Bomber, who has too much money to spend, now knows this is 10. Sixers can worry about the headache. I still think none of those teams are going to make it to the finals. But it's okay. It's like, it's a cool, Both teams now will become kind of drama-less. I saw someone say if Russ Drake breaks loose, that man ain't going nowhere. Russ is going
to I think Denver is going to still whoop their ass. Frank Machado said, do you think Westbrook shakes loose from the Clippers? I do not. I think he's going to stay there.
That team is a team.
Hold on. And I'm going to toss this to Sean because I want to speak particularly to the Philly portion of this. But Say Less D says in the comments, Brian said he would sign John Wall right now to start over Lowry. I don't know what kind of shape John Wall is in presently. But what I will say is that while I did not say that, I don't mind you sort of putting that on my name because I would actually think about it. Given how Kyle Lowry's been. What did I say on playback earlier? I said 1974 ass production, 6 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists in 30 minutes. Come on, man. Sean Rochester, your thoughts on the Harden trade before we close this out with some comments.
Yeah, I mean, obviously living in downtown Philadelphia and Center City, you know, first I have to apologize the departure of James to the young ladies at work in the evenings. All around the city, the local economy has really been hit hard. We will rebuild, I think. You know, I think there will be a rebound. It may take after winter. It was 28 degrees when I woke up this morning, so maybe slows down the late night economy. But look, James, he's the whole system, right? Is that what he said? I'm not a system player. I am the system, and I don't know if that applies in the evening also. But anyways, I just. The way I look at it is this. I think what the Sixers are doing is they got what they could. Morey's a smart guy. He got a bunch of expiring contracts. I think they're guys that can fit in if they want them to fit in. Obviously, Marcus Morris is from Philadelphia area. Great fit. Those guys can all defend. They're good veteran players. I think in the long run, though, and when I say long run, I mean like between now and the deadline, and except for the Heat, because we bring it up on the damn second of November, but that's a short term for us, long term for everybody else. I think they're going to try to flip those guys. Expiring contracts, attach whatever they can to it. They're not going to trade Maxey. They're not going to trade their big pieces. But you also have Tobias as a big expiring. Korkmaz, who is begging anyone and everyone to take him out of there. Korkmaz is a hostage of Philadelphia. I think that they're looking to get something else. And if they can get something else, which Morey is bound to do, right, I think they could be a pretty good team. But at the same time, they're still the Sixers. So I think that keeping the pieces fitting in a short, you know, time to get it all to gel together is going to be difficult. On the other side, the Clippers, I agree with you guys. I think on paper it sounds great. I just don't see them being the team that's going to come out of the West. West is too hard. I just don't see them being the group.
I want to get to some comments before we end, but I did forget that there was one other segment. We'll have imaging and all this stuff moving forward, but it's not really like a super elaborate segment. I just want to go around the room, the virtual room. And what in the first week of games, because it's only been 1 week of the NBA season so far, has stood out to everybody the most so far? Could be bad, could be good, could be annoying. Mine is probably going to be annoying more often than not. Timmy, let's start with you while we get some comments. We are going to do a few comments to take us out of here at the end of this.
So all summer, not really all summer, for the last year, it's been about Wemby and Scoot. Scoot looks terrible. Terrible. But it's a young, but that's really what I want to talk about. I said all summer the Twins were going to be the talk of the season. And Amen hurt his ankle again, the same ankle he hurt in summer camp, so he's a little gimpy, but also Thompson.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that boy is a hooper. Like I think against the game against the SGA, like 15 points, 10 rebounds. Like he had the 5 blocks against the Miami. Like I love his game. I think Monty and Silas are the perfect coaches for him. I mean the issue I think Detroit will find us that none of those guys are good shooters. Cade, Ivy, Hayes, also Stu, Duren, but all of them are like what 23 at the oldest. Duren has averaged like I think like 17 rebounds over the last like for the season. I love the Pistons. I love the that there's a you know the black GM, the black coach, black assistant. Like I like the energy there. I think I would put also for rookie of the year. I would. That's my personal bet. But I think that's how good he is. I think the Pistons will have a better record than maybe just both the Spurs and the Blazers and the Thunder, but we'll see. I think also is amazing.
Sean, what stood out to you most quickly in 60 seconds this first week?
Yeah. A team that I like, and I know they started off 2-0, have lost their last two games, the Pacers. Haliburton coming out of the Olympics or the, yes, you know, the FIBA games, made a jump. He was obviously a good player last year also. But just the way that they play, it reminds me in a way of the bubble team Heat before the pandemic. The way that we played, the ball moved, there was movement, cutting, spacing, fun to watch play basketball. I enjoy watching them play. So I've been like kind of like my league pass team has been them. Obviously, Wemby and this, the things that he can do. And another guy sort of along the same lines that Timmy brought up, Jalen Duren, is the kid in Dallas. And why am I losing his name right now?
Derek Lively.
That boy made Wemby look a bit shaky.
Both of them are Philly guys also. And they, he's just an athlete, man. I mean, he's only going to get better, but giving them that vertical threat that Dallas really hasn't had, he looks very, very good early. And the second guy that has stood out that I didn't expect from the rookie class, it seems like we're talking rookies, is Jordan Hawkins. Who thought Jordan Hawkins was going to get so much playing time in New Orleans? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's playing pretty well. So yeah. I liked him at UConn last year. And, yeah, I mean, it's the first week, you know, we're definitely overreacting to certain things. Things are going to fade, but cool to see those guys shining out.
I'm going to be quick before we get to a few comments. Y'all are going to get me so tired of Victor Wembanyama with all these goddamn highlights. Listen, I want the kid to do well. He is 7'4" and like 8 pounds. Okay. So I hope that he has a healthy and long and prosperous career, even though I'm going to have medical questions about it the entire way, because that's unprecedented and we haven't seen something like that work long term. However, I mean, like, every single game, except when he plays poorly, I just get a highlight and I'm just like, you guys have to stop putting so much pressure on this kid. Not you guys here, but just in general, the media and Twitter cycle, if we're still calling it Twitter, I still call it Twitter. Yeah, y'all are gonna
his turnovers tired. Every game over 2.5, over 3.5, Wemby turnovers locks.
Yeah, he can't. People tout his ball handling ability, can't really handle the ball like that yet. People are figuring him out a little bit more, and I feel like they will as the season goes. But he can score, he can shoot, can't always shoot efficiently, but he can shoot. His rebounding will come and go. Maybe he'll be a better rebounder later on, but just relax. That's all I'm going to say. All right, Manny, give me a few questions to close us out here. Salus D is back in the chat. Sean, what trade do you see them actually making to make them better? Whatever. I got you, Salus D. We know what you're trying to say. I read that and I fucked it up. Sean, I assume he's talking about the Miami Heat, and I could make the Barry Jackson joke. They like their team, except reality. But Sean, is there a trade that you actually think they can make?
I think the guy that gets moved is obviously Lowry, the easiest one to move because of his expiring contract. The trades, as I mentioned earlier, I think that we should be looking at is some sort of combination of a point guard with a wing. It doesn't matter what the other position is because you can take help anywhere. But a point guard and someone else, probably both of them expiring also because people don't want to pay taxes. So it's got to be it can't be a long-term money, you know? So I think that's the framework we're looking at.
To me, this is still one of the packages we've talked about. The TJ McConnell, Buddy Hield one is probably my favorite because I do think Haywood Highsmith is the long-term, by long-term, I mean this season, starter at the four next to Jimmy and Bam in the front court. So I feel like you can plug in TJ McConnell as your point guard because, I mean, it can't get any worse. And at least Jimmy Butler really likes him because he likes bullying little white dudes. And you have Buddy Hield, who, I mean, he can be a great six man in Miami. So there's that. What else do we have here? Donut Dan, I'm going to toss this to you, Timmy, first. Year 5 of Jimmy, Bam, Tyler, and Duncan. Is there a longer tenure of a 4-player group right now? Like in the
Warriors.
NBA?
Warriors.
Other than the Warriors.
No.
Because the Warriors is the answer with Steph, Draymond.
Boston. Tatum Brown.
But he said three, man. Smart got traded.
No, he said four.
So it was Boston until Smart got traded.
Yeah. I mean, but the point is that Donut Dan is making is like this core has been together for a while. And yet I'm still not even sure that Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero play all that well together.
They don't.
You know, so
Middleton, Lopez, and all the Antetokounmpos.
Sean, let me ask you that real quick before we get to our final question.
The answer to the question is never. Next.
Yeah, also, Miss Wilson, we addressed that already. But thank you for the question. Always appreciate it. But Sean, do you think Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler, like, is there an on-court chemistry fix? Because it hasn't felt like, and this is why I said, I'm not trying to say Tyler Hero, like, yeah, go back to being the sixth man, but I feel like there should be better results with him and Jimmy Butler starting together. Why hasn't that been the case?
Because it seems like it's my turn, your turn. It's not flowing together. And I like to think that it's because there is not that connecting piece, which points the finger sort of back at Lowry, that can make it flow. But it's all five guys working together. I don't think it's Jimmy's fault. I don't think it's Tyler's fault. I don't necessarily think it's Lowry's fault. I don't think it's Spo's fault. I think collectively, yeah, it just has to – you have to play as a unit. It doesn't matter what team it is. You know what I mean? Like, look at the Mavs last year. You throw Kyrie and Luke out there together. You're like, damn, they're going to kill it. You make the freaking playoffs by their choice, obviously. But, like, you think about the Clippers right now. Can it flow together? If those guys are going to take turns, it's not going to work. It has to flow together.
Let's take one more question. Send us off with a bang. Oh, shit. This is a good one. Frank Machado says, is Jimmy really a number one option on a championship team?
If he wants to be, I think that's the problem.
I feel like because he's taken two teams to the finals, you know, both of them injury compromised, right? One of them without Tyler Hero, which, as we just talked about, I'm not going to say that was for the better, but I do think that in Tyler's absence, they were able to get people into their roles and figure some things out that they weren't when Tyler was out there. And that's something that they have to navigate through, as Sean was saying. And the first time Goran got hurt immediately, Bam got hurt immediately. Who knows what would have happened. I do think Jimmy Butler is number one. It could be the number one on a championship team, but it can't be like LeBron bringing, you know, Sasha Pavlovich to the finals. Like, you're going to have to put some dudes around him, right? Jimmy, Bam, and you have to put a good nucleus around him, a good enough one. And I think that it's possible. But I will say that the window for that is closing because he's 34 years old and obviously is not going to need a ton of innings.
He said the regular season 2 summers ago is acting up again.
Yeah, so you have to be very careful. Like this, but this is why Damian Lillard made so much sense. And I agree with Timmy. I don't think they need a third star. I think you just need better players around. Like, you can keep Tyler Hero and try to get better players around that, right? Which is what we've been trying to say. Like, get a package of a guard and a four, or a point guard and a wing, or something like that. But, you know, you got to be able to.
The Pistons, Cole. I think one of these teams we've been discussing are going to give up around Christmas, whether it be the Pistons or the Wizards. I think someone at the bottom is going to say, you know what, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Let's get the Lowry expiring contract and move on with our lives.
We'll have plenty of time for transaction talk. Thank you, everybody, for watching the inaugural, at least 2023-2024 episode of Floor Zeroes. Remember, StubHub, go into the description, get your tickets. College basketball is around the corner. The NBA is here, and any other sport that you care to watch. If you're like me and you love boxing and MMA, StubHub is where you get tickets for that. And we also have Home Depot. Remember, holidays are just about here. So whatever you need for the crib, you can find it at Home Depot. But if you're going to get a good deal, look at the links specifically on a description. Don't just go to their website, although they would appreciate that. Go to the description so you can help us out as well. Thank you to Timmy Bain. Thank you to Sean Rochester. We will be back next week, potentially on Tuesday. And our boy Tony Schwartz should be here. So we'll be doing this weekly. Thank y'all for the support. We're out of here.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.